It's Friday, May 21st, 2021. I'm Emma Lieberman, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs said on Thursday that the voting machines Republicans turned over to Cyber Ninjas, the private company handling the sham third audit of Arizona's 2020 election results, are no longer safe for use in future elections. Which is an interesting turn, since we all thought it was future elections that were no longer safe in Arizona, or anywhere else in the U.S. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin called the increasingly likely GOP filibuster of the January 6th commission so disheartening. I wonder if there were anything at all Joe could do to stop them from filibustering. No, nothing I can think of. The Washington Post reported that Trump's Mar-a-Lago has billed the Secret Service $40,000 since January to guard Trump. But, to be fair, it does include the continental breakfast. Microsoft announced they will be retiring Internet Explorer in 2022. But if my experience with the browser is any indication, the retirement will take at least 2 years to complete. Anthony Bouchard, one of the primary challengers for Liz Cheney's seat in Congress, admitted yesterday that he got a 14-year-old girl pregnant when he was 18. Hey, Ant, you know, maybe you should consider running for Matt Gaetz's seat instead. Kim Jong-un has placed a ban on skinny jeans in North Korea, which is ironic, considering that the way he starves his people, everyone's jeans are skinny. You know, except for his. Fat bastard. The Satanic Temple is suing Texas over their abortion restrictions that impede Satanism's religious abortion ritual. So get ready for Governor Greg Abbott to all of a sudden care about the separation of church and state. Zack Snyder said that he had a no-chairs rule on the set of Army of the Dead. It helped the cast of his zombie film get into their characters, since they were all dead on their feet. Although they're still both on probation, a judge has agreed to allow Lori Loughlin and her husband Massimo Giannulli to go to Mexico on vacation. This is outrageous, especially considering that they're obviously paying an airline to get them into the country. Driver's License singer Olivia Rodrigo said that she gave Taylor Swift a writing credit on her new album Sour because a song on the album was inspired by Taylor's lucky number 13. Maybe on her next album, I'll get a writing credit because Olivia was inspired by the number 1, which is an amount of seconds I gave a shit about this story. Now let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
I didn't know the number 13 belonged to Taylor Swift.
Oh, it's a whole thing with her, yeah.
what a jerk-off move.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. It's Friday, so we're going to have some fun tonight. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
I just want to say that I fully admit that I'm too old to play Evan Hansen in the film version of it. Just thought I'd say it. Or I wanted to get that out of the way before we go any further.
You could play his dad.
Great.
Evan Hansen's dad isn't in the show.
Spoilers!
Well, I could play him.
He's in the show, but I'm like, it doesn't matter. He could still play his dad.
Man, come on, Stuart. Give me a break.
Yeah, Stuart, because I still have to write a song so it qualifies for the Oscars for Best Original Song.
Yeah.
So, you know, Evan Hansen Sr. can.
I was going to say, with the way Hollywood works, I am old enough to be Evan Hansen's grandma. So how do you do, fellow teens?
Danny.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. As Joe would say, it's National Strawberries and Cream Day. Ooh. It's National Pizza Party Day. And it's also National NASCAR Day. Oh. Celebrate.
It's National NASCAR Day?
Yep.
So what does that mean in general? I mean, does that mean like that they're like there's guys with mullets out shooting guns? And no, they do that every day, don't they? So there's really nothing. This does nothing to them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. Long journey for that joke.
I know. It wasn't even a joke. I was really trying to think it out for a second. And I'm saying to myself, well, what would be the big deal? What would they do differently today? How about no, let's
only
let's
turn not, left. No right turns.
Say about black people. How about that? We'll celebrate our thing today.
Anyway,
how's it going, everybody?
And Cam.
Hi, I'm Cameron. Are we bleeping shit now?
No. Yeah, we are in the actual in the video part. Yeah, we are.
All right. But you're not bleeping
because,
my shit.
Because we always bleep we bleep the dirtier words at the beginning because we do put this out as an Instagram thing as well. And so, you know, the kids on Instagram, they don't curse.
They keep it clean.
They keep it clean. Mm. We were blue, but not like that.
Right. Yeah, right. This is the 6 o'clock show, so.
Yeah, yeah.
The one you can bring the kids to.
Yes.
Okay, so let's start tonight's show. Earlier this week, the trailer for the film adaptation of the Tony-winning musical Dear Evan Hansen was released, and for all those thrilled to see it coming to the big screen, there was still a lot of people having issues with, mostly because 27-year-old Ben Platt is reprising his Tony and Grammy-winning part as 17-year-old Evan Hansen. So we thought we might look at the controversy and then examine Hollywood's long history of hiring adults to play teenagers. So first, how many of you have seen the trailer to Dear Evan Hansen? And do you think Ben Platt looks awkward playing a 17-year-old? I'm yes for both of those. Yes and yes. Okay. So do you think that the criticism of casting him is valid? Let's start with you, Cameron.
No. I mean, in this specific instance, it's a role that was created for him. I mean, the producers of the show created that role with him in mind, developed it with him. So there'd be even greater disappointment if he wasn't doing Evan Hansen. I think this is certainly something anybody who's going to go see the show is going to look past, if not just wholly embrace that the guy's now doing the movie. Anybody who wants to see this movie is very happy that Ben Platt's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think
what tripped a lot of people up, myself included, because like we all know like 27-year-olds have played high schoolers, that's not that weird a thing at all. I think what I've thanks to TikTok, people have made a lot of great points that I'll kind of parrot over here is they were like, he looks a little like a cartoon character with the way the shirt and pants are, which plays better on stage than it does, you know, on camera. And he looks kind of heavily pancaked, which is weird because 27 really is not that old at the end of the day. So, like, why the extra heavy pancake? Someone else thought maybe they were doing a little de-aging like they've done in other movies recently. And so it gives you kind of an uncanny valley thing. And so that's why it was such a, like, whoa, he's 27 playing 16. That's crazy. When maybe they didn't need to do all those extra steps. Because I've seen photos of Ben Platt. Outside of that, he's not a haggard-looking 27-year-old by any means. He's actually quite baby-faced at the end of the day. And I didn't even realize he was 27. I thought he was younger until, honestly, this trailer came out. So I think the way the styling and makeup and potential camera trickery maybe overcorrected something they didn't really need to correct at the end of the day.
And that's actually his natural curly hair, he said, so... Because
a lot of people thought it was a wig, myself included. Yeah, okay.
That, yeah, that's his natural hair.
I really put too much gel in it then.
That too. Pete.
See, I'm kind of like in two different camps on this. Yes, he looks way too old to be playing a 17-year-old, and it's kind of weird when you see him matched up with some of the other kids in the cafeteria in the trailer. But at the same time, if Ben Platt, when Broadway reopens, if Ben Platt decided to spend a week on Broadway doing Evan Hansen, it would sell out where the tickets would be $1,000 a ticket. So there is that kind of duality where people probably would like to see the guy that created the role, who also won a Tony for the role and was so good in the role, play the part. Now, you know, like they did the same thing when they made the movie version of Rent, and that looked ridiculous because there was a 10-year gap between when those guys were. I mean, you know, it's like I kept saying to myself when I was watching Rent was, wow, age really ages people. Because I mean, especially Adam Pascal, who played, was it not
Roger?
Roger, yeah. He looked like he was about 45 in that movie, and that was just weird. So Ben Platt doesn't look 17. He doesn't look 45 either. So it's somewhere in between. But, yeah, it is a little strange. But at the same time, I'm sure once he starts singing and playing the role, people will forget all that stuff.
And once people find out Ben Platt's not really autistic, then they'll have something else to complain about.
Oh, yeah, they'll complain about that.
Well, you know, some people have thought it's actually a coming out story, and they don't know that it's not.
Yeah, people don't know that he's not gay, which is like – and it's the same people who are mad that he's playing a teenager. People, it's like you just don't know what the show is, and you're mad you didn't know what it was.
I'm mad at something new. I'm scared and confused, so I'm mad is kind of what the vibe feels like.
You know, that's
just misinformed.
Like, oh, people have to be mad at something. You know? Be woke or for me. So the first time I saw the trailer, I was so excited. I started hearing the music and I was like, oh, it's coming out finally. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, he looks old. And then I ran downstairs and I told Pete, have you seen the trailer for Dear Evan Hansen? He does not look like a 17-year-old kid, but we saw it and we missed Ben Platt doing it. And I wanted to see it with him. So the kid that played him when we saw him, he was incredible. I mean, great voice. But I still, you know, I still want to see him in that role because I love the soundtrack. I love his voice. And I'm a huge fan of him. It's like a little bit of both. I think what we will get past it, especially the ones that are really looking forward to this. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see it either way. And I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited.
One of my favorite comments I saw on Twitter, because I was trying to find all of them, is one person wrote, Ben Platt looks like an alumni who's coming back to his high school to get an award for what he played Evan Hansen 20 years ago.
And I said, I include myself there, but I didn't say anything nasty about him. I was just like, oh, he looks older. Like, you know, but of course he is older. He's, you know, 27 years old. I'm Stuart.
Full disclosure, I haven't seen the whole trailer. I've just seen like photos.
It's only two minutes, Stuart.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch the trailer. He's a busy man.
He's getting haircuts.
I think he looks older in the trailer than he actually does.
Yeah,
I think he looks. So I think a big part of that is the hair and makeup team is really where the blame goes. Cause like, or lighting or, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, he Veronica said, he has a baby face. He's a young look. He looks younger than 27. Like, I've seen him on the street. Like, he does. But, like, he looks, like, older now for some reason. I'm not sure who fucked that up.
Maybe age.
I saw him a couple of years ago.
God fucked it up, still.
I think he looks younger than 27 just in general.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, like Veronica said, I had the pleasure of seeing Ben Platt. The best live performance I've ever seen was him and Dear Evan Hansen. So, you know, obviously I'm sure the current cast on Broadway is great and everything, but I mean, I think Ben Platt is so perfect for the role and does such a good job that it's worth suspending the disbelief to see him in the part.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's how I feel. Elizabeth.
Yeah. And I mean, some of the outrage is definitely ill placed too, because the actress playing the main female character, she's actually 25. She just happens to look a lot younger in general. Caitlin Dever, I'm not sure how you say her last name, but she was in Booksmart in the last couple of years. So she's in her early and now mid 20s at 25, still playing a teenager. It can be done, but like we've all said, I think there's a hair and makeup and lighting technology fail that backfired on them, trying to make him look younger and not.
So there's been incredible backlash against casting actors that are not the same, the race, gender, sexuality, or disability of the character that they're portraying. So why are actors of the wrong age not something most people have an issue with? It can't be lack of talent. There's a lot of talented young people. So
look at Stuart.
Look at Stuart. Yeah, I wanted to.
I'm 23. I mean, I still play high school, but I'm not in high school.
Elizabeth.
Well, I think it's sort of less frowned upon, at least is for younger, because there's so many working rules for actors under 18 in terms of like availability, and people I think kind of weirdly understand that and are okay with it. I mean, maybe they're less and less so. So it's not that weird if like a 22 or 23 year old were to play a high schooler on like a series or a movie or something like that. I think the bigger issue is when like people point out like Jennifer Lawrence in Joy was like supposed to be, they never specify she's like a middle-aged, you know, put upon housewife, but she kind of is, even though she's like all a 26 or something in the movie. And it's, there's weird disparities there. I think kind of ignoring actually like more mid-range, middle-aged women in particular. Mm-hmm. And they also should have hired young people for The Irishman. I'm sorry. It was noticeable.
But it was still a great movie, though. That movie was fantastic.
Do you want my giant coffee table book about it? Because I don't
know. Yes, we do.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. You fight over it at the barbecue, yes, then.
Okay. Cam.
Well, for two things. People like to look at beautiful actors and actresses. And your average high schooler ain't that. In fact, most of us, it took even a while longer to really grow into it. And two, if you're going to be creating these complex stories about complex characters that you're going to set in a younger world, you still need actors of a certain emotional maturity to be conveying that. I mean, Hamlet, the character may be 20 years old at most, but that's the way you see the best performances being done by actors at least twice that age. Hell, Ian McKellen's going to be doing Hamlet later this year, which we can probably discuss later whether that's going to work or not. I think it will.
I had no idea. Interesting.
That's
ridiculous.
I will come over there, Stuart.
My point being, though, is that if
you're going to insist on setting Hamlet in a high school, you still need actors capable of portraying the complexities of the Hamlet-type characters. And most 15, 16-year-olds, they can't do that. As well as the time limitations you have, because any actor under 18 years old, you're very limited in the access you have to use them.
Mm-hmm. Pete?
I'll tell you, I found something interesting when I was researching this earlier today. We're always talking about how actresses have a very short window, you know, before they go from the ingenue girlfriend to becoming like the mother, the grandmother parts. Well, it's the exact opposite on the other end of the spectrum, because more young women play young women in movies than young men play young men. Because like what I was finding was that for every guy that was 25 playing a 16-year-old, there was a 15-year-old playing a 15-year-old woman, you know, 15-year-old girl in movies. And that goes for many of the bigger stars. Like when you look at a movie like Mean Girls, Lindsay Lohan was essentially the same age as the character she played. Molly Ringwald, every movie she did, she was essentially the same age as the character she played. When Julia Roberts was in Mystic Pizza, she was the same age as the girl she played in the movie. So it seems like when it comes to casting, they always do look for young ladies, young women who are roughly around the same age. But it's the guys they seem to kind of go north with. Like we'll see when we do the bracket battle later on that it's almost exclusively men. There's like five or six women on it because there just wasn't anything glaringly just obvious about it. It was very rare that you get a Grease where all the actresses are so much older than the parts they're playing. And I just thought that was really interesting when I was doing this.
You know, I just thought of something really quick. So years ago, I went to a panel with Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. And, you know, on the show, R.J. Mitt, mm-hmm. You know, he played Walter Jr., he has cerebral palsy, and he does have cerebral palsy in real life, and he also had it on the show. So when they asked him about casting him, he said, I wanted to cast somebody that was as believable as possible. And when people would tell him, well, you know, it's going to be impossible for you to cast someone with a disability that can also do a good job, and he said, in Hollywood, you'll always find someone. So I just like kind of popped into my head right now when people saying that. But yeah, I mean, I think if you look hard enough, you could still find, but you know, somebody that'll actually fit, you know, whether it's the age or not. But I guess like Cam said too, like people, you know, they're awkward maybe looking during those stages, and
They want
well, let's also not forget, though, I think also in musical theater, there's another layer of acceptance for casting older or different actors, because you also have to bake in the fact that you need actors with several years, if not decades, of professional singing and dancing training that you have to go through. And yeah, there are some great prodigies in their teens, you know, who can tap it, dance their asses off. But again, if you cast them, you have very limited access.
Yeah.
So you need those people with professional training to go and do it. And I think when you're watching especially musical theater, whether it's on stage or then transposed to film, you accept that. And for anybody out there who really can't deal with somebody not resembling a character in a musical, don't see Hamilton.
Right.
Word, and then let's finish with Dan.
Well, a couple things. Along the lines with young men in musical theater, vocal changes sort of aren't, it doesn't really settle down until like my voice didn't really settle until I was like 17, 18. So
37.
Soon, you mean.
Yeah, you'll get there.
No, but that's, I mean, that's another part of it. And going back to what Peter said about men being cast as younger more, it's when I was started trying to audition professionally when I was like between like 15 and 18, it's sort of a dead zone for guys because you can't work as an adult. So you have to follow the labor laws, but there are like 18 year olds and like 19 year olds that look just like you do now. We're just late bloomers and they get all the work because they don't have to follow as many of the, you know, this restrictions. And another point I want to make is with shows that are like very serious subject matter, like a Skins, like a Euphoria, like having high schoolers, you know, whether it's sex, drugs, these kind of things, it seems somewhat inappropriate to have a 16-year-old who, even if they're playing a 16-year-old, you know, doing hard drugs on screen, whereas, you know, you could just get a 20-year-old or, you know, 25-year-old who looks like they're 16. So I think that subject matter also plays into it.
Hey, Danny, you wanted to add something and then we'll move on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with what Cam was saying. You need that emotional maturity and the performances you've seen. I remember seeing, I think it was called American Juniors. It was a children's version of American Idol. And this girl, she had a really good voice, but she sang all by myself. And the judges said, well, it was nice, but what in your 9 years of life can you bring to that song? That song requires an emotional maturity that you've gone through stuff. What have you gone in 9 years that you can actually connect with that song? You know, and that's the same with, you know, anybody. I guess you want someone who's going to be out there and have a connection with that character, that role, that song, and have it conveyed, or else it's not going to work. And regardless of age, for me, as long as you can do it, hey, go for it.
Maybe she lost her favorite stuffy and
she was all by herself.
Her heart was broken. She's all by herself.
So as I said at the top of the show, Hollywood has had a long history of casting older actors in younger parts. Of course, we could talk about that history, but it is Friday on TMI Daily. So instead, we'll explore it through a game we're calling They Were How Old? Here's Peter to explain the object of the game. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay, so the game is completely based on age. And so, Stuart, I'm letting you know right away, this is easy rules. I'm not complicating this one at all. It's based completely on the age of characters in movies versus their actual age. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to go to each person with one question. They'll answer the question. If they get the question right, they get 2 points. If you think that they gave the wrong answer, you can answer yourself and you'll get 1 point if you're right. So we're just going to play this. It's 10 questions. Let's see how well everybody does.
And, wait. If I think they got it right, can I also agree and get a point?
No, you can't. No, only if you think that they're wrong. So,
sorry, I tuned out. Can you say all that again?
Oh, so
can we build?
I'm going
to
go.
Parlays?
I'm going to go.
Sorry.
I'm going to go to each of you with one question.
Okay.
Once you answer the question, if somebody else says I don't think that's the right answer, and they pick one of the other choices, if the person who was supposed to answer gets it right, it's 2 points. If you challenged it and you got it right, it's 1 point.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
And each one of these is a theme for each question. So our first question.
Wait. Why would you ever not challenge?
Well, I mean, because maybe you're not.
No, but Stuart has a point, though. What are the consequences if you challenge and you're wrong?
Look, I don't care.
It's It's a game. Let's have some fun.
Okay. So you tried to make it simple, Peter, but now it's just going to get dragged out because everyone's challenging. Can you handicap us? You know,
okay. Stuart
doesn't know a lot of these.
Okay,
things,
how about so this?
I'm going to challenge
you. If you challenge and you get it wrong, you lose your turn when it comes around to you. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
But
if you get it right, you're still going to go.
That's a great system.
Okay, so we're going to start with Veronica, and the category is couples. So I'm going to give you three movie couples and the ages their characters were. You tell me which of these three couples was actually the oldest in real life. Okay, so the three couples are
the couple that's just the oldest.
Which of these couples combined age would have been in real life, the real actors?
And whose question is this?
Say again?
Veronica's.
Veronica,
this is Veronica's question. So here are the three couples. Cher and Josh in Clueless, who were 17 and 19 in the movie. Daniel and Allie in Karate Kid, who were supposed to both be 16. Or Rose DeWitt Decatur and Jack Dawson in Titanic, who were supposed to be 17 and 20. I'll tell you the actual people. It was Alicia Silverstone and Paul Rudd would have been for Clueless. Ralph Macchio and Elizabeth Shue would have been for Karate Kid, and Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio would have been Titanic. So
you want me to tell you the couple that was the furthest?
Which one would have been the oldest if you combine their two ages?
They're two real life ages.
They're two real life ages, yes.
At the time of the movie.
At the time that they made the movie, yes. Well, I mean, it would be the same now because they'd still be the oldest.
You know what? I'm going to say Ralph Macchio and Elizabeth Shue.
Okay, so does anybody else want to challenge that?
I know he was in his like mid-20s when he did that movie. So, and she looked older, even though I think she was young. Yeah, I'm going to go with them.
Okay, anybody else going to challenge?
Well, no? Here's the thing, because I know that in Titanic, because they were 23 and 20 respectively at the time, and Paul Rudd was 25 when he made Clueless. But I wasn't sure how old Alicia Silverstone was at the time.
Okay, well, actually, are you going to answer?
But I'm not challenging.
No, okay, you're not challenging. Alicia Silverstone was 19, and Paul Rudd had actually turned 26 by the end of shooting Clueless, which made them 45 years old, which was 2 months older than Ralph Macchio and Elizabeth Shue. So you got that incorrect. Okay, so we're going to Elizabeth now, and this is Classmates. Okay. Classmates. So in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Stacey Hamilton was 15 years old. Her brother Brad Hamilton was 18. Her best friend Linda Barrett was 17. And her classmate Jeff Spicoli was also 17. Who were the youngest and the oldest? Was it Judge Reinhold and Jennifer Jason Leigh? Sean Penn and Phoebe Cates? Jennifer Jason Leigh and Sean Penn? Or Judge Reinhold and Phoebe Cates?
Give me the combos again one more time.
Okay, the combos are either Judge Reinhold and Jennifer Jason Leigh, Sean Penn and Phoebe Cates, Jennifer Jason Leigh and Sean Penn, or Judge Reinhold and Phoebe Cates.
I think it's Sean Penn and Phoebe Cates.
Does anybody want to challenge that?
I challenge.
Okay, what do you want to say, Riz?
I want to say Judge Reinhold and Phoebe Cates.
Okay, well, anybody else? No? Okay, well, it turns out that it actually was Judge Reinhold, who was 25, and Phoebe Cates, who was 19.
I should have known. Sean Penn looks so fucking old in that movie.
Phoebe Cates, who was played older than Jennifer Jason Leigh, was actually 2 years younger than her.
Yeah, I knew she was the youngest, but I could not pinpoint which fellow it was.
So Cameron has scored the first point. And we're going to Danny right now. So Danny, this is the oldest plastic. So and by that, I mean the girls from the plastics from Mean Girls, who were all supposed to be 16 years old at the time when the movie took place. Which one of them was the oldest plastic in real life? Was it Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried, or Seyfried, whatever. And Lacey Chabert? Which one of them? Danny, silence.
I'm thinking. I'm going to say it was the oldest, right?
Yes.
Rachel McAdams.
Okay, does anybody want to challenge that?
Because no? Lacey Chabert, she was on Party of Five and was the original voice of Meg on Family Guy, which began over 20 years ago.
The youngest one on Party of Five, though.
It's true.
Okay, well.
I'm going to let it slide.
Okay, well, Danny's correct. Actually, Rachel McAdams was 26.
I almost said that in our earlier discussion. I was like, fun fact, Rachel McAdams is 26, and I'm glad I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but she
I
mean, was, Danny she got was it right 10 anyway. Years older than the part she played.
Yeah.
So we're going to Stuart. Stuart, this is ganging up. Ganging up is the category.
That's what we do on him every day.
I have to say that Stuart is turning into a pro, by the way, because you and I both tag teamed him with a comment, and he just walked right through it. He didn't even stop. when you said, you'll get there.
It's no longer off a duck's back. It's off Stuart's
back. He just let it go. He's a pro. So, so Stuart, these are gangs in movies. So the Jets from West Side Story and the T-Birds from Grease are two of the most famous gangs in film history and definitely the most famous to ever break into a song during a rumble. So both gangs members were supposed to be between 16 and 18 years old. Which gang was older in real life? I'm going to give you four members of each gang. You tell me which one was older. The Jets, played by Russ Tamblyn, Richard Boehmer, Tucker Smith, and Tony Mordente, or the T-Birds, played by Jeff Conaway, John Travolta, Barry Pearl, and Michael Tucci.
I'm going to go with the T-Birds just because of Kaneki.
Okay, does anybody want to challenge that?
I think he's right.
I think he's right, yeah.
He's right.
Okay, well, the T-Birds, when you combine their age, they were 112 years old. The Jets, on the other hand, 100. So their average age was 25. You know where they really got thrown off was Michael Tucci. Michael Tucci was 36 when he was Sonny.
No, he was Sonny. Sonny,
he was older than Stocker Channing? Because I know
he was the oldest member. Yeah. He was older than some of the people that played teachers in the movie.
God. Like way off for that movie. Can I just
say?
Well, but I think that's also an instance, especially with Grease, of them leaning into the musical theater aspect of it. It had already been performed by people much older, actors much older. That's sort of the fun.
I think, was Jeff Conway younger than John Travolta?
No, he was,
he was older.
I think he was 27.
Okay.
He was in his late 20s when.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I thought that.
Jeff Conway had played Danny Zuko.
That's
on Broadway.
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking.
And Barry Bostwick, who later was mayor on Skin City. And also from Rocky Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're moving on to Cameron. So right now, Danny and Stuart each have 2 points, and Cameron has one. So, Cameron, your category is Out to Breakfast. So this is a Breakfast Club question. The Breakfast Club was about five teens aged 15 to 17 forced to spend a Saturday together in detention. In real life, some of these actors could have actually better spent that time at a bar or driving a rental car that didn't need the additional insurance.
That intro really got me, sorry.
Because you know you got to be 25 to get to pay the additional insurance, Stuart. They were Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, Ali Sheedy, Judd Nelson, and Molly Ringwald. So I want to know who were the youngest and oldest club members. Now let me give you the
Anthony oldest. Michael Hall was the youngest.
Okay, well. Let me read this to you before you answer.
Okay.
Emilio Estevez and Anthony Michael Hall, Ali Sheedy and Molly Ringwald, Judge Nelson and Anthony Michael Hall, or Judd Nelson and I might say Judge the first time. Nelson and Molly Ringwald.
Judd Nelson and Anthony Michael Hall.
Okay. Does anybody want to challenge that? Okay, well, Anthony Michael Hall was 16. He was the youngest person on the in the cast at the time. He was actually about 6 months younger than Molly Ringwald, who had just turned, who actually was 16 at the time also. But Judd Nelson was 26. He was the oldest member of the cast. Ali Sheedy, 23. And same thing with Emilio Estevez. So you get 2 points. So you're now in the lead with 3 points. So we're moving back up to Veronica. And this is Hungry at That Age. These are all people from The Hunger Games.
Never seen it. Okay.
The death of a young person is always tragic, even more so when they're forced to fight to the death in the Hunger Games arena. Kids must be between the ages of 12 and 18 to be considered tributes for the games. So tell me who of the following participants would have been the only legally young enough person to be a part of the game. So what I'm going to say, so again, you had to be between 12 and 18 years old. I'm going to give you four people. Out of these four people, only one of them was actually legally in that age group to have been a part of the actual Hunger Games.
But the rest of them were over too old?
They were over
18.
Okay.
Actually, all of them were over 20 or over. So was it Katniss, played by Jennifer Lawrence? Cato, played by Alexander Ludwig? Clove, played by Isabel Furman? Or Peeta, played by Josh Hutcherson?
Well, considering the only person I know is Jennifer Lawrence, I have no idea who those other three people are. I'm going to go with Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm sure I'm going to be challenged.
I volunteers challenge tribute.
I challenge.
Okay, so Elizabeth, now remember, if you get this incorrect, you lose your turn. So.
I understand. Okay, I am going with Clove, played by Isabel Furman.
Okay, now what about you, Cameron?
I'm going with Cato, Alexander.
Alexander Ludwig.
Yeah.
Actually, he used to come to the place I used to work. Not the most. Oh my God! Wait, the thing is talking. Stop! I think my Google almost said how old Alexander Ludwig was.
Oopsies!
Shut up, Google. Well, actually, one of you is correct. That one person is Elizabeth. Isabel Furman was only 15 at the time of shooting.
The character is like pretty young.
Yeah. So
and she was in that crazy ass movie Orphan, where she pretended to be a small child, but was in fact a 35-year-old Russian little person with psychotic tendencies.
So that puts
great
you
great movie.
Now Elizabeth, it's your turn. So you have 1 point right now. If you get this correct, you're going to be tied with Cameron for three mm-hmm. points.
All right.
Okay. So this category is Who Wants Some Pie, and by pie we mean American Pie.
Okay.
Okay, so American Pie was a sweet coming-of-age story about a group of teens who laugh, love, and occasionally sex up baked goods. Which of these teens from the film was the oldest? Was it Jason Biggs, who plays Jim? Allison Hannigan, who played Michelle? Sean William Scott, who played Stifler? Or Shannon Elizabeth, who played Nadia?
Mm. I want to say Allison Hannigan.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Okay, does anybody want to challenge that? Anybody? Okay, well, actually, you're incorrect.
Damn it.
Shannon Elizabeth was 26, and Allison Hannigan was actually 25.
I thought it was one of the girls, 50-50 yeah, show.
You know, because you don't do that kind of thing in band camp when you're under 20. Okay, so you didn't lose any points. You still have 1 point. Cameron is still leading 3-2 over Danny and Stuart. So, Danny, it's your turn. Web of Deceit. These are Spider-Man. This is a Spider-Man category.
Spider's Men.
Spider's Men, yes.
Yes, like Attorneys General.
Yes.
Now, Peter Parker has always been played to be between the ages of 15 and 17 years old. In each of the three Spider-Man franchises, none of the actors.
Now you're saying it like he's Jewish.
I know. I always call him Spider-Man, like Bill Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
None of the actors who played Peter were that age, though. So tell me who was oldest: Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, or Tom Holland?
Wait, who was oldest?
Who was the oldest of those three? This is actually Danny's question, so don't anyone else answer.
Cameron technically lost the turn because he lost the challenge.
He did.
I can still challenge, though.
Yes, you still can challenge.
You can.
But then you're never going to get another turn.
I'm going to say Toby.
Okay, so you say Toby. Why? Does anybody want to challenge that? Well, Danny, you're incorrect, actually. Andrew Garfield was 28. Yeah. Tobey Maguire was 27.
Yeah, oh, wow. I thought it might be. Because Andrew Garfield had a long stage career in British film career.
Tom Holland actually was the only one who was actually a teenager when he first appeared in Spider-Man. He was
19. Yeah, I knew it wasn't him.
He was 19 when he in Captain America Civil War.
Spider-Man.
Okay, so we're moving on to Stewart. Stewart, this is Scream Queens. These are the actresses in the original film Scream. So the actresses of Scream not only had to deal with horny young guys and mass killers, but also the fear of not putting away enough money towards their retirement, since none of them were young enough not to worry about it. Of these three screamers, who was the youngest? Neve Campbell, who played Sydney, Rose McGowan, who played Tatum, or Drew Barrymore, who played the first victim, Casey?
I'm going to say Drew Barrymore.
Challenge.
Okay, so Elizabeth, you want to challenge that. What do you say?
I'm going to say Neve Campbell.
Okay, anybody else? I saw Cameron. I thought I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I'm going to say Neve Campbell as well.
Okay, well Stuart, did you want to change your mind?
No, but good. Can Cameron do that?
Yeah, he can still challenge. I mean, he still can, you know, he's just going to keep losing turns if he gets it wrong. So he's already lost.
He can get the same answer, though.
Oh, yeah, he can do that. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he gave the same answer as Elizabeth, and both of them happen to be incorrect.
Stuart, you are
the correct one, because of the three, Drew Barrymore was only 21 when she made the movie, whereas both Rose McGowan and Neve Campbell were 23.
Lost my turn. Oh, son of a bitch.
So you lost your turn. So we're going back to Veronica.
Oh, cocky, thinking I saw Neve Campbell on that episode.
Stuart is now taking the lead. Stuart's now taking the lead 4-3 over Cameron at 4-3 and then 2-4 Danny. So Veronica, this is our last question. Okay. So I guess everybody should probably challenge on this one. They all had great genes. These are actors that played characters that were way younger than they actually were. Some actors are called upon to play teenagers well past their 19th birthday. I'm going to give you four examples of actors who convincingly played a teen, and you tell me which one was the oldest. Stockard Channing, who played 18-year-old Betty Rizzo in Grease. Alan Ruck, who played 17-year-old Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Audrey Hepburn, who played 19-year-old Holly Golightly in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Or Michael J. Fox, who played 17-year-old Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
I'm going to say my girl Stockard Channing.
Does anybody want to challenge that?
Challenge for the hell of it.
I challenge because it was it's stock. I agree, Stockard Channing. I went in on that action.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Stockard Channing, but
I already said her age in that movie earlier.
But for the hell of it, since it's the last question, I'll just say Audrey Hepburn.
I'll say Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, I think it's Michael J. Fox.
As a former Universal Studios tour guide, I'm confident he was not older than Stockard Channing.
Well, Michael J. Fox was actually 25 when he played Marty McFly, making him the youngest three in this group. Alan Ruck, who played 17-year-old Cameron, was 30 when he played that part. Audrey Hepburn, when she played Holly Golightly, who was 19, was 32 years old. And Stockard Channing was 34. So basically, I guess Stewart won this battle.
Congratulations.
The wisdom of youth is on his side. I don't know what that means.
He spent all this time discussing the oldest teens. He thought that it would be fun to bracket battle out to decide who is the best old teen ever. The way you will choose is in both the character and the performance. So that's the criteria.
Yeah, so now let me explain how I got this list. Insider.com had done a list of the 50 best teen films of all time. And what I did was I went through that list to find glaring omissions of people that were way younger than on screen than they actually were in real life. And I pulled... They had to either be a main character or a close secondary character. Like Judd Nelson was one of the main characters, and Andrew McCarthy from Breakfast Club, and Andrew McCarthy was the co-star of Pretty in Pink. So that's how we picked this list. So there's a couple on here that might not like jump out at you.
Is it like like being convinced of them being a teenager?
What the way that I was figuring we should do this is first on how well they played the part, and then how good the character was as well.
Okay.
So if Matt Gaetz was aroused by their performance.
Yes, more or less. Oh, if Matt Gaetz was aroused by their performance, then that's who you should pick. So,
But what of Nestor? What of Nestor?
And again, the way we did this so that we were being fair, I took all of the people from the list, I put it in randomizer.org, random.org into their randomizer, and then I put them into the bracket. So I had no way of like changing the order.
Seeding, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the seeding is just done randomly.
Okay. So just give me a second here. I'm pulling this up now.
Out of curiosity, has anyone ever been told they look younger than their actual age? That has happened to me, although it finally stopped, I think.
Oh, I still get that.
It happens all the time.
I still get that.
Yeah.
I'm a cherubic 39.
I am a baby face 35. Yeah, I get younger.
Although I know we're focusing on teens, but we need to throw out an honorable mention for Craig Schaefer's performance in The Program. At 33 years old, he played a star college university quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny
for ESU.
You brought that up because I was struck because Varsity Blues, James Vanderbeek from that movie is on here.
I thought of the program,
but then I didn't put him on because he technically wasn't a teenager in the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's like, you have a receding hairline.
Yes. I have a mortgage and three children, but got to get this quarterback done.
Ron, did you have the list up yet?
I got 17 a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So
from Matt Gaetz?
No.
He thought
it was younger.
That's really hard to read. So just, and then I have it on my tablet.
How about I just read them? Does that work for you?
That's fine. I mean, I pulled it up anyway. So if you need
So go ahead and read.
Okay. So we're starting off then our bracket battle. Now I messed up her name, but is it Saoirse Ronan?
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
Saoirse, yeah. Saoirse. Like Inertia, yes.
Saoirse.
Like
and she was, and I also gave you the age she was when she made this movie.
Okay, so she was 23 when she played Lady Bird.
Mm-hmm. Who was supposed to be 17.
Okay, or Sean Penn, who was 22 at Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So, and he was also supposed to be 17 as Jeff Spicoli.
So I'm always going to go for Sean Penn. So that's
I vote for Sean Penn.
Yeah, that's just iconic.
Yeah,
Spicoli.
I'm going my girl Saoirse.
Yeah, I'm going with Lady Bird.
Okay, so let's vote. Who votes for Sean Penn? We've got okay.
We won.
For it.
All right.
I don't like Lady Bird, but I believe her more as a teenager.
Okay. Sean Penn, it is. Okay, the next one. We have Jake Gyllenhaal, who was supposed to play a 21-year-old.
Who was 21.
Oh, who was 21, I'm sorry.
He was 21 when he played Donnie Darko.
Or Michael J. Fox, who was 24 in Back to the Future.
Yeah, I was wrong. It was 24, not 26.
I'm MJ Fox. So.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, despite that, they also have ancillary performances as teens with Jake Gyllenhaal, October Sky, and then, of course, Michael J. Fox, also in the iconic Teen Wolf. Kind of just throwing that in there. Teen Wolf. So Michael, MJF.
Okay, so anybody who votes for Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, I think they're both really convincing teenagers in the but Marty is just so, classic so teenager.
I'm going to give him a
second vote. I'm not doing it right.
So are we
going to the time machine?
And the MEC one playing teenager Alex Keaton.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
He's got teen street cred.
It's all over the teens.
Okay, the next two. We have Nick Robinson, who was 22 and loved Simon. That, I'm assuming that's the main character, right?
Yeah,
Simon.
Okay, or Jennifer Grey, who was 27 in Dirty Dancing.
Jennifer Grey.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. Jennifer Grey.
Yeah, I can't. Exactly. That kid was really good in Love, Simon.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah, that was a great
movie. But it's baby.
Again, iconic. Yeah,
it's baby. It's baby.
Be mine.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, I was gonna.
And if when Simon comes out a little bit more, then he'll learn to also kind of gently tease out of love. Jennifer Grey's nose job too. like the bitter queen he'll become.
What a shame she did that.
Yeah, she looks nothing like what she used to look like. Okay, so let's move on to the next two. We have Tobey Maguire, who was 27 when he did Spider-Man, or Reese Witherspoon, who was 23 in Election. I love that movie.
Oh, Reese, all the way.
He was really good.
Yeah, Reese is so good. Tracy Flick is one of the best characters ever.
Yeah.
She was so great in that.
McAllister!
I think I'm going to have to go with Tobey, though. Okay, who votes for Tobey Maguire? Two people.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Uh-oh, Google doesn't understand.
So it's Reese Witherspoon.
Yep.
The next two.
Because again, a 15 year old 16 Harriet should not have abs like that, despite being Spider-Man.
That's how he got it though, right?
But that wasn't an accurate Spider-Man physique. Got it more with Andrew Garfield than Tom Holland. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
So we have Keanu Reeves, who was 22 in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Whoa.
Or Xander Beek, who was 22 in Varsity Blues. Excuse me, I never saw Varsity Blues, so I don't have.
I didn't give it. I'm voting for Keanu regardless. I don't care.
It's a great, terrible movie, Varsity Blues. But yeah, I got to go with Keanu.
Yeah, you got to go with Keanu.
I'm gonna have to vote for him because I haven't seen the other one. Okay.
So. Stuart just abstaining from everything he's never seen.
Well, I haven't seen either. So
that's fair. I think that's why I was voting. I don't hate it.
Oh, this one's hard. Okay, this is gonna be an interesting one. Or maybe not. James Dean, who was 24 when he was in Rebel Without a Cause, or Jonah Hill, who was also 24 in Superbad. So good in Superbad.
I hate Superbad, but I was convinced.
What?
Yeah, I hate Superbad.
Yeah, yeah, Superbad's convincing.
She said it.
No. James Dean is, I mean, he's a trapped in time icon of Hollywood at that time, but the actual performance is just a method mess.
I hate Superbad, but I'm voting for Jonah Hill in this scenario.
How do you hate Superbad?
Lots of fucking reasons.
So does anybody not
vote? We don't have time for this, Stuart.
I can understand the hate behind Superbad. I'm not even
going to lie. Thank you, Danny.
Superbad is awesome. You don't know what you're talking about.
I do.
You know it. I do like it, but it can actually be really annoying at times.
Young man, don't step to me on Superbad. Anyway, I vote for Jonah Hill.
Hill moves on. Mark Hamill, who was 26 in Star Wars, or John Cusack, who was 23 in Say Anything.
Oh, Cusack.
Ooh, Lloyd Dobler versus Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker.
I never occurred to me that Luke was supposed to be a teenager. I just thought he was young.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
He acts like he's about 12.
Yeah.
But they never really kind of preface it by saying he's a teenager, whereas John Cusack pretty much just talks about the fact that he's a teenager throughout most of the movie.
Mm. Okay, who votes for Mark Hamill?
This is wait. I'm
deliberating.
No.
Who votes for John Cusack? Okay, so John Cusack it is.
I think Mark Hamill would have looked stupid with one of those boom boxes over his head.
Yeah.
He's going to hold R2 over his head to win Leia back.
I don't think he should really be winning Leia back.
Right.
Although that is actually kind of an awkward teen thing to kiss your sister.
Just trying things out.
Just experimenting at that age.
Oh.
Okay, so the last two in the first column, we have Heath Ledger, who was 20 in 10 Things I Hate About You, or Robert Pattinson, who was 23 in Twilight.
My boy Heath
Ledger.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Ledger Robert Pattinson was actually 1,000.
Yeah.
Right.
And to be fair, I'm inclined just because later this summer I will be playing Petruchio in Mammoth Lake. So, and a production of Taming of the Shrew.
Nice.
So who votes?
My theater's back.
That is actually cool. That's very exciting.
Okay, so Heath Ledger, who votes for Heath?
Heath.
We have, four. So Heath it is. All right, we're done with the first column. So let's go down to the second one.
I saw a Taming of the Shrew production in Stratford, Ontario when I was in high school.
For our less educated listeners and participants like Stuart, 10 Things I Hate About You is an adaptation of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Ledger's character.
With excellent modernizations that make it a little less problematic.
And less problematic. Also for Stuart, Shakespeare was Elizabethan playwright.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
So that Hamlet reference from earlier in the show.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, let's keep it moving. Okay. We have Emma Stone, who was 22 in Easy, or Kevin Bacon, who was 26 in Footloose. See, with Kevin Bacon, he did look older. He did not look like a teenager. But I just love that movie and him in that movie so much that it's like clouding my judgment. And I don't know, Easy A, I've never seen it.
It's really good. I think she's really great.
Yeah, she was really great in it. But Kevin Bacon gives the greatest speech in the history of film when he does. There was a time when people danced for the fuck they were saying.
And he does punch dance his frustration.
And the worst part is that he's actually a really terrible dancer.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes it even better.
Right. And that it's very obviously not him, but the gymnast they hired in the barn punch dancing, which is even better. And then he just, because they do acrobatic down and then up, Kevin Bacon. Yeah. So.
But I think he's also, that's another one of those iconic roles in a movie from a certain era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like both films do tackle societal politics in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Kevin Bacon.
Okay, so let's vote. Who votes for Emma?
Everyone gets tired of me hijacking this.
Okay, who votes for Kevin Bacon? So, Kevin it is.
Andy, did you vote?
I voted for Emma.
Oh.
Okay.
So that means we tied?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You know what's throwing me off? The screen. We have an extra screen, which is awesome. Oh, wait. There's six of them. Wait. Oh, my God. Okay, so let's do this again. Who votes for Emma Stone? Who votes for Kevin Bacon?
Ruh-roh. Okay.
Uh-oh. So,
you know what we need? A dance-off.
Well, she in Easy A, she puts on a dance number for no real reason, like they do in all the 80s movies that she loves so much. I think she's more convincing as a teenager.
Yeah.
And I just like them. I'm not a big Footloose person. I don't hate it.
I like the soundtrack and that's about it.
I think that Emma Stone was really great in Easy A. But I also think Kevin Bacon was great in Footloose. So then my next thing would be the age difference. Emma Stone was 22 when she played the role that she was supposed to be like 17.
Yeah.
And Kevin Bacon was basically 9 years older than the character he played in the movie.
No, he had already played a character in college before that movie. Yes. He was in Animal House.
Oh yeah.
So I kind of have to give it to the guy who played the older part. So yeah. Was older and I played mean, the part.
I'm just in love with Emma Stone. So.
Well, somebody's got to break this tie.
Yeah. Well, no. She's received the letters, Stuart.
And she did get accolades for that performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know she was really nominated for a Golden Globe. Was Kevin Bacon nominated?
Kevin Bacon taught all us white people that we could dance.
And yeah. Kevin does not need
you believe
that's the reason you shouldn't vote for him. That's
did Emma Stone tractor duel?
Yeah, that's true.
No, but she could.
Yeah, she wouldn't because she would fail. Hey.
She helped save Jazz and win an Oscar.
That's all Ryan Gosling
saved Jazz.
Wait, hold on.
Ryan Gosling saved Jazz.
Could Emma Stone
only a white savior can save Jazz.
Excuse me, black artist John Legend. I think I know Jazz a little bit better than you.
Let me ask you this. Could Emma Stone teach Sean Penn's brother how to dance? I don't think so. Especially since he was dead by the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Easy A.
The remake for Footloose sucked. So
somebody's got to break.
Somebody's got to break. It ain't gonna be me.
Peter settled it with the actual age difference.
Danny, go with me on this one, and I'll give you one later on. I'll change my vote for you, Danny.
Just for that.
What kind of Congress level shenanigans are going on now?
You said it, you know, think about the performance. And I just think, you know, with her getting accolades for that performance more than Kevin Bacon did, that's what, you know, helped make my vote.
Okay, then you know what? I'm just going to switch my vote because we got to move on. So right. Emma Stone won.
Okay, how's the cards?
You gave in didn't you?
I gave in because I just want to move on.
I'll be here till 10 o'clock defending Kevin Bacon. Okay, the next one. We have Ryan Phillippe, who was 26 in Cruel Intentions, or Ralph Macchio, 23, The Karate Kid.
Oh, Ralph Macchio. Ralph Macchio all day.
Hands down. I was going to say, Ralph Macchio, even though he was 23, he still looked younger.
Oh, yeah. No, he's Johnny in Outsiders, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do Johnny. Come on.
No, and there's nothing realistic about Sebastian in any way.
That's one of my favorite roles. That's actually my number two favorite movie of all time.
Cruel Intentions?
Yeah.
It's
delightful camp, but
yeah. Okay. I'm the Marcia East Brady.
But that's also an example from earlier where you need older, beautiful people inhabiting those roles.
Yeah, because they would not get the weirdness that they're doing.
Okay, so moving on to the next two, we have Neve Campbell, who was 23 in Scream, or John Travolta, who was 24 in Grease. See, as much as I love Grease and I love John Travolta, he just looked too damn old.
Yeah. No, he's shaving three times a day in that movie.
What's that adult man doing at this high school?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go with Neve Campbell.
I'm going with Neve Campbell.
Me too.
Neve Campbell. Are we good with Neve Campbell?
Yes.
I was going to vote for John Travolta, but fuck it. Let's just go.
Not to mention that apparently while they were filming that, John Travolta was also dating the oldest cast member, Sacha Channing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had never heard that before. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So next we have John.
There's things he could do.
Heder, Napoleon Dynamite. John Heder, who was 27 at the time. Or Matthew Broderick, who was 24 as Ferris Bueller. Yeah.
Matthew Broderick. By a mile.
Bueller.
Because that whole movie
Bueller.
He's supposed to be a teenager.
Yeah. He genuinely looks like a teenager still in the movie.
Okay, so Matthew Broderick it is.
Stuart, are you just abstaining?
No, I'm Bueller.
Okay, all right.
Okay, the next two. We have Judd Nelson, who was 25 in The Breakfast Club, or Tom Cruise, who was 21 in Risky Business.
Cruise.
I'm going with
Nelson.
Judd.
Judd Nelson.
I just rewatched part of Risky Business on
I didn't airport. Realize he was supposed to be a teenager in Risky
I
Business.
I want
to
be
so I'm going with Judd Nelson.
Born Ranger.
He's much more of a teenager. Especially in the beginning before he gets laid.
When that movie came out at the end of the movie, when he goes like that, like every asshole who was my age did the same thing and not realizing he was 10 years older than all of us.
So. No, I've met some hard-worn teenagers like that, I feel. More so than ones that have.
There's always one of those. There's like always one of those in every high school.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, so let's vote. Who votes for Judd Nelson? I do. Almost unanimous. Okay.
Now I'm going Joel.
Now here comes our only female on female competition.
Okay, so we have Jennifer Lawrence, who was 22 in The Hunger Games, or Elizabeth Shue, who was 23 in Adventures in Babysitting.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to go Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. Because again, I kind of forgot that Elizabeth Shue was supposed to be a teenager. Not in a super negative way. I just assumed she was like in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had the best line of any of these people because when she throws the switchblade down and says, "Don't fuck with the babysitter.
Yeah,
it's the greatest line in the middle of any of these people. But yeah, I think Jennifer Lawrence too.
And look, I know you can't leave without singing the blues, but I got to go with Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. The next two we have Jason Biggs, who was 21 in American Pie. Or Elliot Page, who was 20 in Juno.
Elliot Page,
yeah.
You got to go with Jason Biggs. He had sex with a piece of pastry.
But Elliot was so much
more. Is that an accurate teen portrayal?
Elliot was a lot more like related. I just thought,
He really nailed it. So yeah, I'm going Elliot Page.
Jason Biggs.
Okay, who votes for Jason Biggs? Who votes for Elliot Page?
Actually, no, I'm changing back to Jason Biggs because that is...
Okay.
No. Because the thing with Juno is, and why it's so great after you're a teen, because in your mind you think, I was just like that. No, I wasn't. None of us were that smart or witty. Not even today. I don't know. The big thing, the uncomfortableness, the awkwardness. Yes,
he played a great teenager.
That was it. Yes,
oh, he really did. Okay,
go Biggs. So
let's take a vote again. Who votes for Jason Biggs? I could go with either one, to be honest.
Yeah, so.
Just go with Jason Biggs.
I'll go with Jason.
Okay, so Jason Biggs got that one.
Elizabeth, this is like the easiest battle we've ever done.
I know. So far. We're getting into harder. It's gonna get harder as we go along.
Fine.
3 hours later, you don't understand.
It's a meme to happen.
It's all right, Elizabeth, but this isn't summer movies.
No. I retweeted that clip today of the guy arguing with his friend. Where he's like, her sister was a witch, bro. She was a princess. Grow up. I was like, that's the energy.
I watched it again, and the big guy pulls a knife.
I gotta watch it again. I've not seen that.
Guy pulls a knife in the video. It's insane.
Oh, okay, so our last two from the second column, we have Olivia Newton-John, who was 30. In Grease.
Denny!
Or Andrew McCarthy, who was 23 and Pretty in Pink. I'm going with Andrew McCarthy.
I'm going with Andrew McCarthy, yeah.
I'm going with Olivia Newton-John.
I'm going to Olivia Newton-John. Come on.
I'm going to Olivia Newton-John.
Who didn't think she was
hopelessly devoted, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let's vote. We're going to have to vote on this one. Who votes for Olivia Newton-John?
The guys.
Yeah, I'll go with her too. Who am I kidding? I don't even like Pretty in Pink that much as a movie.
I just read an excerpt from Andrew McCarthy's new book, In Vanity Fair. It's just insufferable.
That's good because I was about to start reading it, so thank you for telling me.
Yeah, it's insufferable.
Okay, so we're down to the final 16 now. Okay, so let's see if we can speed it up. So we have Sean Penn or Michael J. Fox.
Oh, Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
MJ.
Yeah, MJ.
Because he just had multiple great teen performances.
Yeah.
Versus the one iconic Spicoli. But
Spicoli is pretty iconic, though.
It is iconic, but Teen Wolf alone, iconic.
Okay, the next.
Alex P. Keaton, iconic, and then of course, Marty McFly. Come on, trifecta.
Yeah, I have a hunch. I know who's going to win this one, but we shall see. So we have Jennifer Grey or Reese Witherspoon. I'm voting for Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey.
I was going to vote Reese Witherspoon, but okay.
Stuart, do you have a vote on this?
No, I don't have a vote on this one.
Okay, so we have Jennifer Grey. Okay, the next two, Keanu Reeves or Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, Keanu. In that particular performance, yes.
Wait, did we say who said Jonah Hill? Raise your hand. I can see. Okay.
All of us.
The next two, John Cusack or Heath Ledger?
Cusack. Believe it or not, John Cusack. I love Heath Ledger, but
yeah, I'm going Cusack.
But Cusack seemed like a teenager for longer.
Yeah, I want to put it up.
Yeah,
he still seems like a teenager.
Right. And also because it was very teenage boyish in that for Lloyd Dobler, because he thought he was doing everything right at the right, but it never worked out. Thought he was doing the right thing. It was the worst thing you could do.
Yeah.
Okay. So second column, we have Emma Stone or Ralph Macchio.
I'll go with Ralph Macchio. I'll yield.
Just because
who pulls off a baseball tee better? Macchio or Stone?
Depends who you're asking, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, we have the next two. We have Neve Campbell or Matthew Broderick?
Broderick. Come on.
Bueller.
Okay. Ooh, I think I know who's going to be in the final two, and this is going to be tough.
And it's going to be blood. The next two, Judd Nelson or Jennifer Lawrence?
Judd Nelson.
I heard dissent.
I think we're going to have to vote on this one. So who votes for Judd Nelson? Oh, maybe not.
Okay.
I was reticent to go Jennifer Lawrence.
Nobody's parent put a cigar out on.
That's what you get for spilling paint in the garage.
Yeah.
And did her parents give her a carton of cigarettes for Christmas? No. Yeah.
She just was forced to fight to the death.
That's
nothing compared to getting a carton of cigarettes for Christmas.
She had to be on the Bill Engvall show, but we're past that.
And the last two in the second column is between Jason
Biggs or Olivia Newton-John?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Jason Biggs on this one.
I'm going with Biggs.
I'm going just so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who votes for Jason Biggs? Let's just make sure. Okay. So we've got.
Yeah.
So Jason Biggs moves on. All right, guys. So now we are down to the final eight. So let's keep going. Michael J. Fox or Jennifer Grey?
Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
You can put Baby in the corner on this one.
No, I'm still going to go with Baby.
Jonah Hill or John Cusack?
Jonah Hill.
Cusack.
Do we win if we say it louder than the other people?
Oh, that's how the brackets have worked. I should have won every fucking
bracket. I brought my Yeti. I will get loud.
you don't want this heat when it comes to the brackets.
So we have Ralph Macchio versus Matthew Broderick.
Oh, fuck. Ferris.
I'm going with Ferris Bueller. Yeah.
It's called The Karate Kid, not The Karate Kid.
I'm going Macchio.
I'm going with Ferris Bueller as well.
I'm going Ferris Bueller.
Okay, let's just vote just to make sure. So who votes for Ralph Macchio? Okay, so Matthew Broderick it is.
Yeah.
Although, wait, are we still looking at more iconic performance or more accurate portrayal of a teenager?
I think it's both. I think you have to kind of take a little bit of both.
The blend of the two. All
right. Then I'll stick with Broderick.
And we have Judd Nelson or Jason Biggs?
Biggs.
Judd Nelson.
This one's tough.
All right. Breakfast Club did not become a franchise.
Probably for the best.
I mean, it kind of did. Like, I would say John Hughes movies are just a French sort of franchises.
Yeah, they're all in Shermer, Illinois.
Yeah, they're
right.
Which sadly does not exist.
Yeah, but the mid to late aughts weren't filled with straight to DVD titles, beginning with, you know, Breakfast Club Presents.
And I'm okay with that
story.
I mean, you're digging the hole deeper.
Elizabeth, are you not a big fan of the Breakfast Club?
Oh, no, I like The Breakfast Club. So I guess I'll go with Judd Nelson.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering. I was just wondering.
No, and I'm neutral on, like, American Pie.
Hardcore, like, oh, I love The Breakfast
Club. I used to really like it.
I like
be into it in, like, my early 20s, and then I've sort of left it to its time, as it were.
Oh, but I do love Judd Nelson now. Okay, let's vote, guys. Who votes for Judd Nelson? I have to vote for Judd. I cannot.
Okay. And of all the people on this list, he's the one we most likely could have a possibility of getting to do something with us at some point in the future.
A friend with him, yes.
I can ask him about my actual favorite movie of his, which is Cabin by the Lake, which is a Lifetime movie where he's a screenwriter who murders people to write his screenplay. It is so bad it's good.
Wait, how does that work?
He
absorbs your life force? Like what?
No, he likes he's trying to be accurate in his screenplay, so he kidnaps and murders women and dumps them in a lake and like studies their reactions to being kidnapped and decomposing.
Oh, so he's getting dialogue out of it.
Dialogue and action. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a great bad movie. It's a classic. I'm not kidding. Cameron, you're laughing. I'm not kidding. My best friend and I have watched it like 50 times.
Imagine
if I call her now and just say Cabin by the Lake, she will know exactly what I mean.
No, I just love hearing things that were greenlit, like that were pitched.
Yeah.
Imagine being a screenwriter.
And it had a sequel. You guys.
Sorry. How does a screenwriter pitch that without coming off as definitely a murderer?
Well, he doesn't.
Oh, no, that sounds
like
something a producer came up with and said, and then found a right, like, this is what I want. Make this happen.
Now I want to watch this tonight so bad. I'm so sorry. We're so off track. Keep going, Veronica. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Somebody snorted a line of cocaine, said, get me right on the phone. I got an idea.
I have an idea.
Not only are we in the Final Four, but this is an all 80s Final Four.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of cocaine.
Yeah.
Kind of inevitable not to go this direction. I think we're talking about like teenagers. Okay, so now we're down to the final four. So it's between Michael J. Fox or John Cusack.
I'm Fox.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox is going to win this, I'm telling you, because it's a rare instance of winning for the actual thing he's nominated for, in addition to factoring the body of work for me. So it's going to be Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, see, when I think of, again, like the embodiment of a teenager, but Michael J. Fox is so believable. And
yeah, he brings a group to that
both
role.
Of them are. Well, I mean, this.
Yeah, but
this
just, is... I don't know. But maybe because I have like just a soft spot, because I love Michael J. Fox too. So I'm like, I have. Okay, so let's vote. Who votes for Michael J. Fox? Okay. Stuart, you wanted to vote for John Cusack?
No, I haven't seen either, so.
How did you not see Back to the Future?
You've never seen Back to the Future?
No.
Ever?
How does this happen? What? How were you sheltered?
How has this happened?
Who raised you?
I wasn't alive for like a million years. That's
why wasn't Child Protective Services called?
We got a report of a kid who hasn't seen Back to the Future yet. We gotta remove him from the home.
But you have been to Universal Studios. You've taken the tour.
It's a great movie.
I don't think I've done a tour. I've interviewed to be a tour guide. I haven't done a tour.
You would not.
See, this is why you got past the one interview. Get the job, Stuart.
Because I did. It's a 4-stage audition process. If in the first interview you mentioned like, yeah, I haven't really actually seen one of the centerpieces of the goddamn tour.
Anyway. Thankfully, Joe made it in time for the finale.
But he could be a tiebreaker, which is good.
I've been in the green room since 6:35, Peter.
Sorry, we got excited. It was a big show.
I texted you.
I didn't see
it. I also messaged Elizabeth.
Oh no,
that's okay. I don't know.
It didn't come through. None of your messages came through.
Check your Facebook.
I have the phone. Oh, I'm so sorry, Joe.
Well, thank you for your dedication, Joe.
It's okay. By the way, we don't have any snacks in the green room.
Stuart, that was your turn this week.
It's definitely not like Kimmel's green room.
I ate them all already. That's what happens when you show up late.
Kimmel's got a much better green room.
You know what? Now we're going to have to start all over again.
We're going to have this bracket all over again.
So we have it between Matthew Broderick and Judd Nelson for the final two spots.
Matthew Broderick.
Joe, what do you think?
What's the subject?
This is who played the better, who's the better older actor playing a teen in a movie? Judd Nelson in Breakfast Club or Matthew Broderick in
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Judd Nelson is like the obviously older one. So I'm going to go with him. Like he's obviously like, you know, he should have been the assistant principal.
See, here's my argument on this one. As much as I love Matthew Broderick in Ferris Bueller, the whole reason why I think the character works so well is because he doesn't act like a teenager at all throughout the whole entire film. Like he's acting way above his age and maturity level. So I kind of feel like maybe I'd have to go with Judd Nelson on this one.
Yeah, Judd Nelson.
Yeah. That's
right, Judd Nelson.
Okay, so who votes for Judd Nelson? There we have 1, 2, I see 4. Oh, I see 2 of me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Who votes for Matthew Broderick?
I mean, I like the argument that Peter's making. Mm-hmm. I respect it. Mm-hmm. But not for that.
Yes.
Okay. If you were making that case for a different character.
Well, now I just lost my bet with myself about who made it to the final freaking 2.
Okay, so Judd Nelson does make it to the final 2. So to end our bracket battle tonight, thank you, Joe, for joining us. We have Michael J. Fox or Judd Nelson?
Either Judd Nelson?
Judd Nelson.
Or it's
MJF.
Judd Nelson.
I'm going with Marty McFly again.
Yeah, so this is Back to the Future?
Yes.
Right, but I'm including body of work.
I'm not.
Because if you count like Back to the Future Part 3,
which I don't,
this is just the first one. This is just the first one we're discussing.
Only the first one? Oh, there's Judd Nelson.
Okay.
Wait, as the better teenager, as the more convincing teenager. Yes.
Oh wait, more convincing? I thought just looked old.
No, it's the more convincing.
It's her acting and
No, that's Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Okay, so who votes for Michael J. Fox?
for the last and final. So Michael J. Fox wins our battle tonight as the best old teen ever. So congratulations to Michael J. Fox, Alex P. Keaton. All right.
Mickey Rooney's pissed right now.
He spans two whole decades. Thank you, sir. I got you back, man.
Greatest star in the world. The world.
Oldest teen on film, because on TV, it could have been a lot of other people.
Oh, boy. Yeah. TV's a whole
We have the 90210 cast right there.
Actually, the
21 Jump Street.
Oldest teen on film, Steve Buscemi.
How do you do, fellow teens?
I was Paul Rudd, not
like
20 anybody.
Minutes more now since we let Joe come so late.
Well, I keep seeing.
All right,
seeing
Joe, what notes did you make that you need to get out?
I told you I was sitting in the green room. I was getting some.
I know.
Done.
I'm sorry. Well, I have. You know why your Facebook message didn't come through is because on my phone I have the show up, and then I only the Zoom.
That's
is
why
blocked.
I finally decided I'll go through Facebook because no one's listening to their texts. And so
you need to watch the show and comment on the show to tell us.
See, that would have got thrown. Like, I only noticed because I saw it. I turned to the side for a change.
Yeah.
You need to cut this short.
What we're saying is this is your fault.
One time in a half hour.
The America First rally with Congressman Matt Gaetz and Congressman Marjorie Greene starting.
Who got me a ticket for that piece of
shit? Here's the thing, guys. You should have signed up.
You got it for Nick, too, I saw.
Do you guys have you heard of like a burner email? Because I signed up with my old email, and I'm not getting shit for it because I don't want to get their, you know, dumbass.
No. I do want it. No, for the same reason, I still get all the GOP emails up because it costs them $5 for every email they send me.
What?
Throughout the entire, yeah. No, one of the best ways to really stick it to them is to sign up for it. Just delete it. You don't have to open it. But some of them I open. They're hilarious, especially ones from the Trump campaign during the election. Even now with the RNC trying to use Trump's name. Sign President Trump's birthday card. They're big on that. President Trump is going to notice that your name is missing.
Birthday card.
You know, give us money now so we can add your name to President Trump's birthday card. He'll notice your name is missing.
Amazing.
He knows when you're awake.
But yeah, they're sending out 30 of those a day. It costs still $5 because one, they're still getting they're fleecing their own donors, and at the same time getting fleeced by the communications people who are managing their whole digital.
Should we maybe
I wonder how much that Trump defeated COVID challenge coin is worth now.
That's our show for tonight. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here again on Monday at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night. Bye.
Sorry, we left you hanging, Joe.
Did you sign?